Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
Welcome once again to the Well-Fed Guide to Life, brought to you in part by HopChart.com. My name is Dave. With me, as always, is Mr. Grumpy. Oscars. didn't get enough sleepies last night, apparently.
You know what's funny? I thought I slept well, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember, I remember getting up. I remember waking up thinking that the cats were peeing on something.
That's like a nightmare to wake up with that.
That's a regular thing. But in this case, they were peeing in the cat litter box. And okay. I just, for some reason, had my super hearing on and
just automatically assumed that
they were peeing on something I love and cherish.
Right.
And I remember my wife waking me up because I was snoring.
Right.
Talking with my wife today, apparently she woke me up several times because I was snoring. And at one point I actually got up out of bed, walked into the living room, and walked back. I have no knowledge of this.
You're the only person that's going to figure out at some point in your life how to sleepwalk with sleep apnea.
Makes you dead. Like, no, that's the walking dead.
You're going to be able to stand up, grab your CPAP machine, and walk yourself, you know, out into the living room, you know, into the kitchen.
I'll figure it out.
You know, make yourself a sandwich and then go back to bed.
The thing is I've asked my wife about this, and I'm not a bad snorer.
Right.
Which, given a man of my girth, is kind of impressive.
It should be the complete opposite way around.
Yeah. But what concerns me is that I don't remember getting up and walking
around. That's a little
weird. Well, because sleepwalking runs in my family.
Mm-hmm.
To often hilarious results.
Nobody's played in traffic yet, have they?
No, but
close.
She doesn't listen anyway, so I'm gonna.
Oh, good.
I'm gonna dish dirt on my sister here.
Good, good.
When my sister was very young.
Yeah.
Probably second grade.
Olivia.
This is the older sister now.
You can use her name. That's okay.
And this is my sister Angie.
Okay.
When she was probably in second grade, I was in, by that point, would have been fifth grade. She would get up all the time.
Did she get up?
She would have been much younger because we were still in the old house. So this would have been, she would have been in like maybe five or six.
Okay.
Okay. She would get up and walk around at night and all
this. Pee on things.
And there was one particular there was no peeing, but there was almost peeing. There was an incident where she had gotten up and left her bedroom, and I heard her, and I was walking with her to see what the hell was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she opened the fridge and pulled the crisper drawer out and made it very clear that she was not thinking that she was in the kitchen. I stopped her before anything happened. But she was ready to just drop one right in the crisper drawer, which would have been hilarious in retrospect.
And never, unforgivable.
No. There's no coming back from that.
Exactly. You could hold that over her head for
it. And we hold this over her head, right. So in the end it really didn't matter.
Right.
We still make fun of her about it, but the good thing is she's done so many other stupid things over the years,
mm-hmm,
that we have a vast list of things we can bring up. Good. As all of us in our family do. So yeah. That's really what family's about, is keeping lists of people.
And grudges.
And grudges.
Yeah.
Right.
No. We are at, this week's show is at Twisted Fork Grill in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the corner of Grand and Hamlin. It's a little weird, the entrance, because it's just an entrance with a green mill.
Yes.
And the signs are almost intertwined, so you almost think that one is the other and the other is one.
you know, the big trend right now with restaurants is you've got a restaurant and a bar with right. different names, but they're in the same building.
Exactly.
And they're sort of connected, but not really.
Or you have a some sort of, you know, conglomerate that owns something that's yeah. kind of tied into the name.
But that's, as far as I know, that is right. not we're, the situation here.
Right. We're pretty sure.
We're pretty sure. We could be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. We're probably wrong.
That's just a safe assumption right. in general.
They could be sharing a kitchen for could all be we know.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Who knows at right. this point? But the big reason why we're picking this place is it is once again Minneapolis Restaurant Week.
Right.
And so
they're you know, semi-weekly restaurant week.
They only do it once a year. What are you talking
they
about?
Do twice
they do twice a year.
A year.
Twice okay, a year. Fine.
It just seems like it just seems like it comes up a lot.
Roughly twice a year.
I know, but it just... Maybe we've just done so many restaurant weeks.
That might be. That very well could be. And the thing is, and this is something I didn't realize the first year or two that we did Restaurant Week. Restaurant Week is not unique to Minneapolis.
No.
Pretty much every major city has one.
Right.
And if you're unfamiliar with what that is, it's basically a host of restaurants, normally a couple dozen, will do a prefix menu for lunch and dinner, normally for discount. And it's typically two or three courses. I think typically it's two courses for lunch for $10 and then three courses for $15
or,
for dinner.
Or exponentially more expensive depending on where you want to go.
I didn't see any that were...
There were some of the 30,
oh, really?
40.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there had ones that had like optional wine pairings with them as well.
Okay.
So the thing is it makes those restaurants that are... You know, on the spendy mm-hmm. side, much more affordable,
and it gets you out of your shell.
Exactly,
it breaks the routine a little bit. Yep. And gives you a chance, and they don't try to overwhelm you. I mean, that's the nice thing about the prefix,
right.
where you know, with this place, with the dinner, you had your choice of three appetizers, three entrees, and two desserts, mm-hmm. and you can just kind of mix and match right. your combinations.
We'll see if this one actually falls into the trap that some of the other places we've gone for Restaurant Week in that they've downsized the portions.
You know, that is something to think about, but at the same time, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing.
Not dietarily wise, but
well, no. But
to me, it's a little off-putting.
Why?
Well,
explain yourself.
Okay, for instance, the place we went to, Cafe Enya, where
yes,
where both of us were like, this was there. It was almost silly the size of the entrees.
Yeah. I do remember
the entrees and the appetizers. Mm-hmm. I think our appetizers were like one bite a piece.
Yeah, something
maybe
ridiculous.
Two. That's mm-hmm. what I'm worried. It runs into the trap. You know, I'm going out for dinner. I'm not going out for tapas.
Mm-hmm.
You know that type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how that comes up. But
yeah, I mean, like you said, we've done many Restaurant Week shows,
right?
And you know, I think of, but you know, the counter example of that, it would be like Three Square,
right?
Which we did, and the portion size was fine, but we had a problem. It's a very delicate balance,
right?
That you have to hit, because our problem with Three Square was that we felt that the items that they were showcasing were a little pedestrian,
more boring.
Pedestrian makes you sound smarter if you say that.
I know, but. Think about it, listeners. They're not that smart. They're listening to us. They took time to download the show. They're not...
Why are you insulting our listeners?
I'm not insulting our listeners. I'm speaking to my demographic.
You're saying the listeners...
Right. I listen to the show. Well, I'm not that smart.
Well, that's true. I guess my you're more saying that the listeners know we're not smart.
Exactly.
So we shouldn't put on airs. I see what you're saying. I still hold out hope that somebody that listens to us thinks we're smart.
Fingers crossed.
There's got to be at least one of you.
Yeah. Come on. Get it together, people.
Why are you admonishing them for thinking we're smart?
I don't know.
This is very counterproductive, what you're doing right now.
It's just...
like I was saying, I mean, it's tricky. Because anytime you do a prefix menu with the goal of bringing new people to come to your place,
mm-hmm.
you have to find ways... Thank you.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Thank you.
Keep it.
You gotta find ways to showcase the menu, but at the same time, not like freak people out. Like,
right.
A place like this is probably not gonna be that hard to do because the menu, you know, typical, you know, kind of, you know, bar and grill kind of fare, you know, sandwiches, you know, pasta, things like that. Mm-hmm. Nothing really crazy. But I think of a place like, you know, Seven is on Restaurant Week. That's got a little more frou-frou-y, foodie kind of thing.
Right.
You know, several of the places that we really like. And I don't have the list in front of me.
Right.
But, you know, I remember looking at the list, and, like, there's a lot of more high-end places that are doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's one where you don't want to freak people out. But at the same time, you also don't want to, like, give them a bad impression so that if they come back and they drop $40-$50
right.
on something, and it's just like, what the hell is this? This is not what I was expecting.
Right.
All of this. So we got the appetizers. We should have kept one of the menus. It's all in mine.
You got walleye cakes.
Well, I know. I got walleye cakes.
There were roasted red peppers, green pepper, onion, something else in there. Panko breadcrumbs.
Capers, I guess? It's just a mayonnaise on there. Ooh, it's like a lemony mayonnaise.
Aioli, maybe.
Could be an aioli. Should really figure out what the difference between mayonnaise and aioli is.
I don't know either. I think aioli is just a fancy way of saying mayonnaise.
Probably. It's French for mayonnaise.
Well, any concerns that
Italian,
we had
I guess. Anyway.
About portion size
yeah.
went completely out the window.
Yeah.
I got the... They offered a just kind of a spring green salad.
I'm not sure if I'm supposed to be eating this with my hands.
No, you should probably be eating that with
no. the
fork.
Freaking caveman here. I mean, you got quite the pile.
Yeah, I got a field green salad that is huge. Huge. So I'm kind of excited about this. Considering, you know, just, again, it's been up and down with restaurant weeks mm-hmm. in the past. And this is off to the right start. I feel like I'm getting good value. This is like a whole, you know, when you buy the bag salad at the... at the grocery store, this is like a whole bag salad. This is huge.
It is pretty big. Similarly, my appetizer, the walleye cakes,
mm-hmm.
three probably large golf ball size cakes.
Bigger than a golf ball.
Well, that's why I said large golf ball, like bigger than, I guess.
They don't make different size
They don't make
golf
different
balls.
Size golf balls?
No, they don't.
Does Wiffle do golf balls? They should.
Should get on that. You should write them a letter.
I should. But I'm trying to... There's no good... This is one of those weird sizes that has no sports equivalent. A high-lie ball, perhaps? Smaller than a baseball. Bigger than a golf ball.
Right.
Lawn bowl? No, it's too small for a
lawnmower. Racquetball.
Racquetball. There racquetball. We go. Yeah, very racquetball size.
Yep.
Glad we got that figured out.
You're welcome.
It would have bothered me.
You're welcome, sports listeners.
Now everyone's Googling what a racquetball is.
Exactly.
Like. But no, I mean, you got three balls and two strikes. Sorry.
Get out. Just leave.
You know, what I like about our relationship is even though we've known each other for 15 plus years, I can still make you ashamed with my jokes.
Not necessarily just a shame, you know. You just tell me I'm stupid.
I don't tell you you're stupid.
Yeah, you do.
Not all the time.
I'm pretty sure you told me I was stupid last week.
I said not all the time.
I'm pretty sure the last three episodes you've at some point told me I'm stupid.
Well, fine.
I'm gonna go back and look.
Quit being stupid, and I'll stop calling you that.
Well, I at least will just say, you know, that doesn't work. That's not working for you.
You say it such more like an asshole.
I know.
Than you, how you just did.
I know.
So I think it might be a wash overall.
There's no way I'm gonna finish this salad. It's huge.
But how is it though?
It's good. Dressing's getting a little heavier the farther I go down into the salad. And it's just a light champagne vinaigrette, but unfortunately the vinaigrette is making its way down to the bottom of this salad plate, but it's good. It's fresh greens. I got some red lettuce, some arugula, looks like some butter lettuce as well, some spinach, some somewhat old cucumbers, but they still taste okay.
Mm-hmm.
Grape tomatoes and some homemade croutons that aren't very good.
Those aren't croutons. Those are slices of bread.
Right. But they're... This,
croutons are mostly cubic.
I understand that. But when they're on a salad, to me, that's goes to the crouton family.
No, it's bread on a salad is what that is. It's different.
Whatever.
Words mean things.
Yes, they do, and they hurt.
Words can hurt. Mm-hmm. I actually got a bed.
Mm. How are the appetizers again?
Good, good.
Did either of you want to do another beer before our happy hour is done?
I think I'm good.
You're good? Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I think I have a very much smaller version of your salad as the bed of my...
You're welcome to have some if you don't think you had enough salad.
I actually dig this salad.
It's a really good dressing.
It's a really good dressing. I think we have the same vinaigrette, but mine is mixed in with this kind of aioli tartar sauce kind of thing that I got going on here, because I think these are capers that I'm seeing in here. Mm-hmm.
Wait. I took a picture of the menu.
You took a picture of the menu. You could look it up. But they're working well together. You know, I'm always a huge fan of cream-based sauces.
I'm glad you finished that.
But, you know, it's the...
Three walleye cakes atop a crispy salad tossed with a red wine vinaigrette,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to my champagne vinaigrette. That's served with tartar sauce and lemon aioli on the side, so you might have...
I may have fused them together in some sort of...
unhealthy marriage.
Delicious concoction. Mm-hmm. My only complaint with walleye cakes, and I enjoy seafood in cake form.
Well, you like enjoy cake. let's call it what it is.
That's fair enough.
You like anything.
Anything that has cake in them.
Yeah, it could be pea cakes at this point.
I don't know how that would work.
Like mashed pea cakes.
Oh, pea. Oh, pea is the vegetable.
Yes. Not
P-E-A.
Yeah, not pea as in, like... Pea cakes.
Yeah. Actually, that could be good. Not the second thing.
I got what
the
you
vegetable.
Got,
yeah. The vegetable.
Yeah.
That could be... My only complaint with these is that, you know, when you have, like, crab cakes or lobster cakes or anything like that, where they're typically, it's, you know, ground up or smashed seafood mixed with some sort of mayonnaise or something like that to bind everything in it. This looks like they added... I don't know if this is just the walleye or if they just ground it too fine or something, but the texture isn't quite what I would consider to be cake.
Can you flip it over so I can see what we're talking about?
It's almost like they put like a little like breading
filler
and a little stuffing or something.
A little stovetop
like
in there.
Yeah, which is an interesting idea, but it's not necessarily what I expect from a cake. So, I mean, it's good. It's good. I mean, it's a...
A little breadcrumb heavy.
It's a little breadcrumb heavy. Yeah, I think these are, you know, and seeing the little bits of celery in this really reinforces the idea that there's this kind of a stuffing mix with this
filler.
Well, I hate to say filler because I think
filler,
it works.
Filler implies flavor-wise. A negative connotation.
Yeah, yeah. I think it works. It's just it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the walleye flavor is good. It's good breading. Good crispy breading. I'd say a very successful appetizer. And they do actually have this as an entree as well.
That's the other thing. Everything that's on the menu for restaurant week is on the menu regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Which oftentimes you don't find.
No, which I think is also marketing-wise very kind of silly.
Right. But again, we've run into that where they'll just do...
Finish a salad.
Limited time. You're welcome to any of mine. I can't.
We'll see. I'm a little worried about the entrees.
Oh, they're gonna be huge.
Given the size of the appetizer. So. So how was your week, sir?
Well, it was good.
Yeah.
I had the past few days I've had some interesting dining. No, debacle is the word I would use. But interesting dining... Experiences. Last year this time, I went off on a local restaurant.
You did.
With great vigor and furious anger.
Well done.
And, first time we were celebrating a friend's birthday, and this restaurant is Chino Latino, which we've done,
and we both felt is extremely overrated and suspect on many fronts.
Exactly. And again, This person had his birthday again this weekend, this past weekend, and we did the same Chino Latino visit.
You're making me make a Chris Brown joke, aren't you?
I know. No, no.
Because apparently that's
it wasn't my choice.
Were you all done with your salad?
I am. Thank you.
Do you want to hold on to your fork?
Oh, yeah. Probably should.
It is completely appropriate to make a Chris Brown joke, but again, I was going because it was somebody else's birthday, and just going to support a friend.
But, you know, they're supporting a friend.
I get what you're saying. I completely brought this on myself.
Well, no, I'm not. Well, I'm blaming you, but not for the reason you think.
Okay.
There's various levels of friend. I think you'd be a bigger friend. You're a bigger friend if you finish that, for one thing.
Yeah.
Anything else I can grab for you, gentlemen, at the moment?
No, I think they were good.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
You're a bigger friend by counseling them from away from their bad decisions.
Right. And I have. I've tried.
Okay.
This did not fall on deaf ears.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe it is stuck now. and that we won't run into this unfortunate issue next year.
Okay.
I make no guarantees. But I'm going to go ahead and say that Chino Latino is the worst restaurant in the Twin Cities.
It's a bold statement.
It is an honest statement.
We expect nothing less from you.
It has gotten to the point now where anytime that I hear somebody about somebody going there, I instantly, and they say they had a good time, I instantly think you're a moron. The service there is so subpar, and the food there is so overrated, and the drinks there are so stupidly expensive that it is a poor dining choice to make. It's like doing drugs at this point. That's what I equate it to.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Chino Latino, you are essentially taking drugs.
And not like the fun drugs.
No.
This is like black tar heroin.
You are doing meth at this point.
Yeah.
You're doing the bad... You're doing bath salts.
You're doing... Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the unglamorous ones.
Exactly. Something that's going to mess up your face pretty quickly.
Or in the case of bath salts, the faces of others.
Exactly.
There's a timely joke.
Where were you about 3 months ago? Yeah. 4 months? It might have been longer.
Who knows?
Okay, so my girlfriend was out of town. So I was going as...
Pantsless.
I was going to represent the both of us. Because it's a mutual friend that was celebrating 40th birthday. It was a occasion birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was just a birthday, and they decided, hey, we're going to try this this time around. This was an occasion birthday. There were a lot of people there. It was a group of 15 of us. And again, did the Cabalist pig roast, which is a whole roasted suckling pig with black beans and rice. Those are only two sides.
Okay.
So it's prefixed at $30.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, it's a whole freaking pig.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of food. But for $30, you know, the both side dishes were cold.
$30 a person.
$30 a person.
Okay. It's not $30 for 15 people.
Both side dishes came out close to, I'd say, 8 to 10 minutes before the actual meal came out. So by the time, you know, everything actually got to the table...
Mm-hmm.
It was cold, you know, that was cold. The pig, while good, it's really hard to screw up a suckling pig. It's really hard to screw up a pig roast. It wasn't $30 great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take a bite here because you're destroying me.
Well, I mean, I've been to a few restaurants. I've never had the suckling pig there. But anytime there's that kind of ridiculous food item,
mm-hmm.
the one where you need to have a group with you have to order it 24 hours in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime there's an...
It's 72 like, hours.
Well, it's 72 hours. Right. No, but anytime there's a... there's a lot of...
A list price on it.
well, what I was going to say is anytime there's a lot of foofra about a particular dish, I mean, anytime there's a lot of steps you got to take and a lot of, you know, caveats, it is never worth the price. No. It is never worth the... It is always a terrible value. Mm. And granted, part of, you know, doing a thing like the giant pig roast or something like that is you're not looking for value, you're looking for the occasion.
Right.
And you know, there's something to that, but that doesn't give you an excuse to half-ass what you're getting. Mm-hmm. You know. You know, the novelty only takes you so far. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen one of those things where it's like the signature, like, stupid amount of food thing that hasn't been just utterly disappointing.
Right.
In the long run. You know.
Here's the thing that completely flummoxes me about Chino Latino in particular, is the fact that they're part of a larger restaurant group. Mm-hmm. With Manny's, Good Earth, Pittsburgh Blue, Muffaletta, what else is a part of that?
I can't remember them all.
Part of the first few bites of everything.
Good, very good, good.
Excellent.
Uptown Cafeteria,
mm-hmm.
Prohibition, there's one other, like one or two more other ones.
But pretty much everything else.
Everything else we like. It's good. It's good value. You feel like you're paying for the amount that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, Prohibition is what it is. It's a downtown nightclub bar in the Fauchet. It's swanky. It is what it is. Chino Latino is just douchey.
Now, and this is another one of those situations where I'm probably wrong in this case,
right?
And I welcome corrections from our listeners on this, but Chino Latino is one of those places that back 15 years ago, before we as in the Twin Cities had the food
scene
that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, Chino Latino was like this bright, shining star.
Right.
Of we can have a.
It was that fusion. It was the.
It was the hot thing at the time. You know, this was proof that we can give that kind of destination eatery that, you know, like, you know, New York and Chicago and LA all have. You know, we can do this. Plus, it was fancy for the time.
Right.
You know, it was hip because that was uptown at its probably its highest.
Right.
Was, you know, Chino Latino was a big part of that.
Chino Latino, the independent.
Even the independent was a little later in that cycle. But, you know, the Lagoon, the Uptown Theater,
Chiang Mai Thai,
like all those, like that was the center of kind of hip urban culture at the time.
Right.
And the uptown market, that whole area has changed since that time, and it feels that Chino Latino, more than all of those other places, because I'm pretty sure that's the oldest of all of those places that you mentioned.
Yep.
That it doesn't feel like it's updated itself.
It hasn't evolved. It hasn't changed with the times.
Yeah, and as. You know, as we've seen many times over the years in any sort of hip location, after a while, you know, for lack of a better word, the bro quotient starts to come fill in as the hipsters move out, the bro quotient comes in.
Yep.
I mean, you're even starting to see that in, like, Northeast right now.
Mm-hmm.
We just got the first early rumblings of that.
Of the bro quotient.
Yes, we can hear them over the horizon.
In your neighborhood newsletter?
That's right, yes. The columns
winter
called Bro
is coming.
Watch.
Winter is coming.
That's right. So you're starting to see that a little bit in, like, Northeast.
Right.
As the hip stuff moves out to, like, Powderhorn and Longfellow and that area. And, you know, and I just think Chino Latino, it survives on that kind of bro cachet. What the hell is that?
I think it was a sage stem. Mm.
It kind of hinges on it. Because, you know, the thing is, you know, we've been there several times. It's never empty.
No, it's never. That's the thing that just dumbfounds me. So, anything bad I'm going to say about the place right now, that's the world's going to keep on spinning. They're still going to make money. They're still going to, you know, pack the house with, you know, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, mm-hmm. you know, I got, you know, my tax refund that's blowed on shots mm-hmm. and really shitty sushi.
Yeah.
It's just... It frustrates me, and the service is so bad. The service is some of the worst service in town. Mm-hmm. I should not be at a restaurant for 3 hours and only been able to get my waiter's attention twice. Mm-hmm. Once to get my water refilled, and another one just to order, you know, my first drink.
Mm-hmm.
Shit. You know, and especially when you have a group of that size, if you need to, bring in another freaking waiter.
Yeah, especially, you know, with the pig roast, you know... several days in
mm-hmm.
advance,
mm-hmm.
you know, that
we're there to spend money.
Mm-hmm.
They ripped me off, but they probably could have gotten two more beers out of me. So I had a beer, a bottle beer,
okay,
a shot, which I don't drink shots.
No, you don't.
I don't, and I don't like shots. And it was kind of pre-ordered for me, so when I walked in, everyone was getting ready to take one, and they're like, oh, you got to take one. Yep. And of course, I didn't realize, it was a $10 sake bomb. Okay, $10 for a sake.
That's ridiculous.
You and I don't drink a lot of shots, and it's been a while since I've actually purchased a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, even in the state the economy is in,
mm-hmm.
Inflation has not hit that hard.
No. No, that's airport prices.
That is airport prices.
And pretty much airport quality, I'm guessing, too.
Yeah. You know, we're talking an ounce and a half of sake, and gotten, you know, maybe 3 ounces of beer.
Yeah.
So I'm paying for less than 5 ounces of alcohol. For $10?
Mm.
Really?
That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. So you have that. You have a overly expensive bottled beer, domestic beer, mind you. I'm not buying like a Surly or a Fulton, which I'm drinking right now from IPA. You're drinking a what?
I'm doing their, Point Seasonal, which mm-hmm. is their winter ale.
Mm-hmm.
It's very good, by the way. Totally works with my food, which we still haven't talked about.
Right? Right. We'll get there. I'm not done waxing poetic about this yet. So, all in all, drink, shot, food. How much do you think that set me back?
$55.
With
tip?
Yeah. Not well, including you, parking as well.
You tip stingy.
If for poor service, I damn right tips to me.
Yeah. So I'm going to stick with my 55.
I got home. I was almost $70 in the hole.
Okay. That math doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, if you had the parking.
Well, okay, if you had the parking.
Which isn't cheap.
No.
In town, or out of town.
Mm-hmm.
But dinner itself with tip broke $60.
Yeah.
To me, that doesn't seem fair. I feel like I'm old money right now.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem fair. I feel ripped off. There's so many other places in that general area I would rather go to.
Yeah.
And would have had a 100% better meal.
At half the price.
At half the price, at the better service.
Mm-hmm.
I've had better service with less service.
Yeah. I can see that.
You know?
I probably asked you this last year when you made a similar complaint. You've presumably had a chance to talk to the other people you were with at that time since then. Is your feeling shared by the other people that went
yes,
with you?
Yes, yes.
Including the said birthday boy?
See, that's the problem. Birthday boy was a couple sheets to the wind. So he doesn't really get the fact that the rest of us are kind of upset that you drag us here every year
mm-hmm.
for the last 2 years. it's gotten to the point now where I said this to my girlfriend, you know, this person's a great friend.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not that good of a friend that I wouldn't say, you know what, we're going to sit this one out.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that frustrates me the most about Chino Latino is the potential to be a very good restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But it chooses to play up the douche quotient, and it chooses to play up, you know, stupid double entendres on the menu. And
yeah, I mean, that's always been the thing.
It's just so cheapest.
Are you still working on your pappardelle a little bit?
I'm good.
You're done?
Thank you.
Okay.
You get a box for that, though.
No, I'm good. Thank
you're
you.
Good?
Yep. But, it has the potential. The menu is so freaking big.
Yeah. You know what? Thank you. Because, and
first time you ever thank me for anything.
Oh, shut up.
Christ, that was your best man at your wedding.
Oh, for God's sakes. You know what? You deserve Chino.
I cart you around every Monday. No, thank you.
You and
never.
Chino Latino deserve each other.
Yeah, I will probably
point.
Do.
But no, so Stephanie Meyer, friend of the show, she was apparently contacted not too long ago by the folks at Kitchen Impossible.
Okay.
Which is the show, if you're unfamiliar with it, I think it's a Food Network show.
Yeah.
Where they basically airdrop Robert Irvine into a restaurant that's struggling.
Yes.
And fixes it. Basically,
I've got about five places.
You got 10,000. Well, it's funny because I was having a real bitch of a time trying to think of a place.
I already know which ones I'd pick.
Well, let me finish my thought and we'll go into that. But I think Chino Latino totally worked for that.
Right.
You know,
here's my take.
And the reason what made me think of that is your complaint that the menu's too big. Because I've seen that show a few times.
Right.
And one of the almost universal complaints is that there's too much stuff on the menu.
There was like a 30-seat Italian restaurant out in New Jersey or something like that.
I saw that episode.
60 things on the menu.
Yeah. Yeah.
He looked at them like, you're crazy. And he narrowed it down to 12.
Yeah.
And reduced their food costs by almost
80%. Yeah.
Here's what I would do to fix Chino.
Mm.
All right, you have two levels, and that inherently is hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But you do something like what Seven is doing downtown. You have a steak level. You have a sushi level. You have a sushi level, you know, and just let the top floor that only be sushi, and you have the bottom floor, only hot food. You can interchange between the two, but primarily that's what
there's something that you could also do, like what Psycho Susie's does,
mm-hmm.
where you've got the restaurant downstairs and you've got more of it's still a restaurant, but it's more of like a nightclub-y
lounge
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You could do the same thing.
Yes.
You know, much smaller menu,
right?
With a heavier focus on drinks,
right?
And small plates, things like that. Do that on top, make the bottom more of a restaurant. Like
I understand my point of saying it's douchey is just my point of view.
Mm.
For some people, that is a great place to go, hang out with your friends.
Yeah,
you know, enjoy your bachelorette party or whatever mm-hmm. is going on. I understand that it has a clientele and a built-in clientele, and anything that I'm going to say right now doesn't mean a hill of beans, because again, they're going to make money hand over fist.
Yeah,
but it is one of those places that could do so much better and have so much more potential if it just refined what it was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And worked on its service. And, you know,
they seem to always be, and I've only been there like once or twice, and they seem to always be understaffed.
Completely. It's a massive
restaurant. It's not like the individual servers are bad, it's just they don't have enough people to cover.
It is
the
biggest restaurant in, Stella's is probably bigger.
In terms of square footage.
In Uptown Cafeteria might be it.
Seven's close.
Seven's close. But in Uptown?
In Uptown, probably the closest would be Uptown Cafeteria or
But again,
Stella's.
But here's the flip side to this. I was at Uptown Cafeteria this weekend as well. I had brunch there. It was packed on Saturday morning. And it was,
they got a great brunch menu.
They have a great brunch menu. And they had great freaking service. Mm-hmm. We were there. There were four adults and an infant. And we had no problems. And our waiter could not have been better. And I wrote them an email saying, you know, whoever, I don't know who this guy is. This is my party. This is where we sat. You know, give this guy some kudos for helping us out.
I'm just on the side there.
Andrew.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, my goodness.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure.
These are... Okay.
Well, finish your thought, then. Right. Because we need to catch up on the food.
I understand that. I think I lost my thought.
You were writing them a letter.
But I wrote Uptown Cafeteria an email saying, this was fantastic. Thank you for being so accommodating, because it's not easy dealing with, you know, not that my nephew's hard to deal with. He's freaking 3 months. You know, he still just sleeps all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Just leave him in the car for Christ's sake.
Wow. You're a horrible person.
Look, he's a Bergen. He's not going to really set the world on fire intellectually in a few years anyway.
Wow.
It's fine.
He still has a chance, all right?
I've met Mark. No, he doesn't.
He'll be lucky if he is able to tie his shoes.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. Sorry, Mark. I know you're listening. But it's the truth. That restaurant group knows how to run restaurants. Mm-hmm. Do a better fucking job. Do a better job, please. I'm begging you. This place has a potential to be better, and it's not.
Yeah.
And they wrote, you know, that I got angry and pissed off last year when we went there, and I, you know, they wrote us. They wrote the show.
I remember that.
And they did nothing about it. I went off on a laundry list of things that were wrong. And nothing ever happened with it. I hope somebody else is listening now that I've had the same experience twice now. I go to a lot of restaurants, all right? I know what I'm talking about. I'm not blowing my own horn here right now. We've been 200 and God knows how many restaurants. 242 restaurants. Not counting 4 trips to the state fair.
Okay, so 238.
Right.
I forgot to do the math.
And 2 trips to Psycho Susie's.
I counted that one.
Okay. Whatever. I know what the hell. We're at the point now where, you know, you go back to show number one, we had no grounds to stand on. I know what the F I'm talking about right now.
Yeah.
Your restaurant sucks and you need to do something about it.
Yeah. Eat your crumbly leg.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to catch up because we have to talk about the food. Mm-hmm. We both did the I had the walleye case, you had the salad, we both dug it.
Mm-hmm.
Size was good.
Mm-hmm.
Entrees came up.
Mm-hmm.
I went with their seafood mac and cheese,
mm-hmm.
Which I think part of that was just latent sadness that I didn't get it at Smash or Snack Shack.
Mm-hmm.
But mine was shrimp and scallops, along with a really good penne and cheese sauce, with nice breadcrumbs on there. It looked like panko crumbs or of some sort. Really good. I mean, it's not going to compare against Smack Shack, but that's their signature dish versus something that isn't their signature dish here. But, you know, it was very good. It was exactly what I like in mac and cheese. Whereas, you know, and I think the choices of shrimp and, you know, I think seafood works really well with mac and cheese because they're both, you know, very kind of mild flavors and creaminess. Yeah, and the scallops. I mean, the scallops were well cooked. The shrimp was good. I'm a huge fan of breadcrumbs and like a baked mac and cheese. And
it's a texture.
It was a texture thing, but they were seasoned breadcrumbs. So they added a little bit of kind of an herbiness to it. It was really good.
Good.
I was really happy with it. I mean, it wasn't like I said, it's not compared to Smack Shack.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a dedicated seafood place,
mm-hmm.
but for a place like this, it was very, very good. I was very happy with it. You did not seem as happy with your chicken pappardelle.
I got a pappardelle pasta. It was on a tomato cream sauce with the it was a herb chicken breast.
Yeah,
the breast was pretty dead.
Yeah, it looked a little
very dry.
Yeah,
very dry. Tomato cream sauce was okay. I wouldn't say it was great.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. You know, the other thing I would probably mark it down with is that there was a lot of tomato in the sauce. I mean, there's just a lot of tomato on the plate.
It looked very saucy. I mean, and mm-hmm. the sauce seemed very loose.
Mm-hmm. I think one, had the chicken not been pretty overcooked, mm-hmm. that would have helped. But if it had gone with a more of a like a rigatoni or large penne
mm-hmm.
pasta, I think it would have worked better. I think
just what did you have? It was like
pappardelle,
a
pappardelle, so like a wide fettuccine at that point. That's difficult to deal with, especially when you have chunks of stuff. It makes for a very large bite.
With long noodles, spaghettis, linguinis, pappardelle, things like that, you really need a very homogenized, uniform sauce, and fairly thick.
Yeah.
You know, and just so that it coats those noodles and it does well. Because, you know, like you said, they're not going to have the structure to hold up a lot of tomatoes.
You got a huge bite at that point, and you're just picking up one, one, you know, singular noodle.
Yep.
The sauce itself was good.
Okay.
I'll give it that. The pappardelle was cooked properly. But the chicken was just dead. It was really beat to hell. And the way, way, way too many tomatoes in the sauce. I get the tomato cream sauce, but it was like a whole 14-ounce can of diced tomatoes dumped on the top there.
Yeah.
So, and I like cooked tomatoes, but I like the homogenized, you know, it blends in well with the sauce. It's there not as the star, but just as the bridge.
The bridge.
So, but portion size was huge.
Yeah, and I was actually going to mention that mine was sizable, but not, like, ridiculously so. I mean, it looked wider. It looked really huge, but it was a very shallow plate.
That's what all the girls say.
So my total portion size was actually pretty standard for it when you get an entree mac and cheese. So I was not offended by how much I had, but yours was huge.
That was massive. I didn't even put a dent in it.
No.
I ate all the pasta out of there, but I didn't touch either one of the beaten to hell chicken breasts, and didn't eat hardly any of the tomatoes. Desserts came. Again, large size.
Yeah.
Large, because, I mean, well, you can't really do like an oversized creme brulee. I think it's too delicate of a job to do in the first place. But also, I think it just takes away from the artfulness of the creme brulee. I got a lavender creme brulee with almond cookies. It's very nice. I've had better. My girlfriend actually is really, really good at making creme brulee, which has made me into the fat man that I am today.
And snobby fat man.
Exactly. Her cranberry creme brulee around the holidays. Yeah. Yeah, buddy. It usually involves a lot of swearing and like one ruin the pan, but completely worth it. But it's good. Very heavy on the lavender.
Okay, I was wondering about that. Because lavender is one of those where it's like you need a fair amount just to get any sort of flavor out of it. But then it goes from like, it's like nothing, 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 good, blah!
It goes lavender, and then to me, when I have a lot of lavender, it goes to a ginger flavor.
Like a spicy ginger. Anytime you get an aromatic flower like that, it kind of...
Feel free to try.
No, I actually dislike creme brulee.
Really?
You know, and
pudding.
I know. Just something about it. It just does not work for me. I don't know what it is.
That's strange.
It is weird. But I've never been a fan. But I'm gonna take your word for it. How are the cookies?
When it's paired with the almond cookie,
yeah,
it's actually quite nice. It pairs down that kind of spiciness or that ginger flavor that the lavender gives it. So I'm surprised.
And you know, given the menu, you know, like I said, it's a lot of tavern, bar and grill kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Sandwiches, pastas, things like that. A lavender creme brulee with almond cookies is kind of that odd, I don't want to say sophisticated touch, but like that doesn't fit.
Somebody knows has either had it somewhere before or knows what they're doing, has the wherewithal to put that flavor profile together.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
it shocks me you don't like creme brulee because it's got hardened sugar over the top.
I know.
It's like a candy on top of the.
I know. Dessert. Just something about it. It does not agree with me.
Huh.
I went with their apple crisp. And the two that we had is actually two-thirds of their entire dessert menu. They also have a Chipotle ice cream or something like that. Like, it's like a hot dairy dish of some sort. Mm-hmm. I forget exactly what it is. Hot dairy dish.
I'm going to bring it up and we'll confirm that.
We'll look it up.
Yeah.
But,
where are you going?
But no, I went with the apple crisp, which is, you know, your typical, you know, apple crisp. You know, it's got caramel and all that. And I am, first off, it's huge. I mean, this is probably the biggest restaurant dessert apple crisp I've ever seen. It's, yeah. You know, typically you're talking like a ramekin, maybe about 2 to 2.5 inches in diameter. This was a good, I mean, it's a square plate, and it's probably a good 5 inches square.
Yeah, you know? And the usable surface is probably about 4.5 by 4.5.
Maybe. Yeah, it's a very sizable thing. And I'm not a fan.
Really?
Yeah. It's to me it has some several cardinal sins for me for apple based desserts.
Can I take a guess?
See if you can guess.
Not enough crumble.
No, I think you're close, but I'll let you.
It looks like it wasn't cooked long enough, so it looks awfully mushy. Like the apples might have been overcooked.
That is possible. The big thing for me is I like apple crisps to consist pretty much of apple pie filling with crumble on top of it.
Right.
This is more of an applesauce.
Yeah.
And to me, so that I think is a huge.
So it might have actually been an overcooking of the apples.
It could have been. But this might also be, again, a feature of the overcooking. It feels like they used oats in the crumble,
mm-hmm.
which is offensive to me. I don't like oats on pie.
Really?
You guys doing?
Good.
You still working on your apple crust?
I know, I think I'm done.
You're good?
I'm good.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, bet.
Also, doesn't help that I'm stuffed right now, so that's making it even more difficult. But I just
see that's a key portion of the crisp is oats.
I dislike oats.
Okay.
On dessert, my mother-in-law makes a diet apple pie.
That's right. We've gone over this. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great.
Right.
But there's oats on top, and it feels.
It could also hurt the fact that you hate her guts.
That
and
is
you
not
hope,
true.
Hope she burns in hell.
That is not true.
Wow. I only did that because I know that somebody from that family is listening.
No.
He hates her. You should hear the things that he says about her.
What are you talking
it's
about?
It's terrible. Like, I think she's a nice woman.
You've barely met the woman, for one thing. And you were more than willing to throw me under the bus
regardless.
But the
time I spent with her was quality time.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily make that hand motion when you mentioned
wow,
when you
I actually
your,
didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't.
No, really, that was not even a Freudian mm-hmm. slip of any type. That
I'm
was
sure.
more of a...
I'm sure.
She's a delightful woman.
You're a pervert. Anyway. But no, when you cook raw oats...
Yeah.
And they get that kind of chewy...
Uh-huh.
To me, that's like lizard skin. You know, it's like got that like chewy kind of scaly effect.
Gummy,
but yeah, like
mealy.
Mealy, yeah, exactly. I don't
like
that.
Have you ever put like a cooked oat between your teeth?
No, I try not to.
When you're chewing it, it kind of gets almost rubbery.
Yeah, that's my like leathery, almost.
Rubbery.
Yeah.
Gummy.
Yeah, I just I don't like oats.
Could be used as an adhesive in some
exactly.
countries.
Like I'm not a fan of oats on
right.
dessert, and they did that, and it was a very underwhelming, underwhelming dessert.
Right.
Yeah, you know, which is a shame. But I think we can wrap up here.
Right.
Oh, actually, before we wrap up, we got a little bit of time. You said you had 5 places that you think. Could use a Kitchen Impossible.
Because
I actually sat and thought about this, and it could be just my very forgiving nature.
Couldn't come up with anything?
I couldn't come up with anything fitting the criteria that I believe that they look for on
okay.
that show. So you give me your ideas, and I'll tell you why I didn't think about them.
Chino Latino.
We agree on that.
All right. Kabuki and Eden Prairie.
Haven't been there, couldn't tell you.
Well, you've been there, but it's been so long.
Yeah, it's probably been 15 years.
But keep in mind, it hasn't changed since you were there.
Yeah, but I was also more intimidated by the fact that I'd never had sushi before. Okay, so but I don't really remember that place.
It's not gotten any better. Mm-hmm. It's not evolved with the times.
And that would actually make some sense, because exactly. I mean, they're all about kind of revamping places.
Exactly. Now they put me on the spot. Another place, Stefano's in Burnsville. It's a family joint that has, in the past, has had good food, good Italian food.
Yeah.
And to quote my mom, it's just gone to shit.
Okay.
So there's three. Off the top of my head.
See, it's interesting to me that everything you've mentioned so far has been suburbs. And I was actually talking with my wife about
Latino.
Latino, yeah. Whatever. Everything else you've done is suburban. And I was talking with my wife about this and how I couldn't think of anything in Minneapolis that would require this. And I wonder if it's due to the fact that the Minneapolis market is so unforgiving.
Oh, yeah. You can be out of business so quickly.
That you can't. Like, the only place I could maybe think of was Vecchio's.
But even then,
but that's still good. It's more a function that just
right. Their food
it hasn't
suck.
Changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The food doesn't suck. You know, these other places, the food has either, you know, started off good and gone downhill, or you know, it just never was good to begin with. So, God, I'm trying to think. It seems to me like there's a few more that are on like the top of the tip of my tongue, but I can't really.
Can't think of anything. Well, that's fine. Before we wrap up here, we got a little bit of time. I did want to mention that.
I didn't know where you guys, but I just thought I'd leave this here for you and everybody.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I did want to mention that I did get a chance to check out 123 Sushi in IDS Center.
Yeah.
I've actually been there twice now.
All right.
In the week that since I've been there.
We're going to come back.
Excuse me. It's a offshoot of the guys who do Masu.
Okay.
So it's similar, and it's interesting. What they do is they do kind of a Subway restaurant style.
That's what I've heard.
Sushi
like a,
preparation.
Like a convention.
Like a cafeteria style.
Like a cafeteria or a conveyor belt type.
It's not conveyor belt, but you've got. I mean, you basically go and you pick your protein.
Yeah.
You pick. It's almost
the
like
assembly
noodles.
Line.
Yeah. Yeah, you pick your protein, you pick a couple fixins, you pick your sauce,
right.
And you do that. The line for that, if you're going around lunchtime, expect 20-minute wait.
Really?
Yeah, because they've got pretty much two guys making rolls.
And do they have something like, some stuff that's like preset or, you know, like a recommendation?
You can get rolled. Like, they've got like six or seven, like, not pre-made rolls, but like pre-set up.
Okay.
Where you can just say, I just want the spicy such and such.
Right, right.
And then you're fine.
Okay.
But you can also build your own.
Okay.
And those were good.
Okay.
I had something, and they've got some interesting things. I mean, they've got the traditional things that you'd expect from sushi, but this is the first place I've ever seen that lets you do tonkatsu as a meat for sushi. If you don't know what tonkatsu is, it's breaded pork chop sushi.
How many? You've done that both times, haven't you?
Oh, no, no.
Just once?
I've had pork both times, but not
okay.
the pork. But that was cool, and I had that with avocado and green scallions.
I knew. I'm like, you did a pork cutlet avocado roll.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
And they do an Asian barbecue sauce, which is kind of like, it's a very sweet barbecue sauce.
Yeah, like almost like a sweet teriyaki type of deal.
Yeah, kind of a halfway between like a teriyaki and a hoisin sauce.
Okay.
Oh, it's outstanding. And it's cheap.
Okay.
I mean, you get 8 discs.
Okay.
You know, it's a full roll
right.
for like $6.
Really?
Yeah, which downtown Minneapolis.
No wonder
for
their
lunch.
Line is, you know, mile long.
Yeah.
Do you see them, because of their popularity, expanding out to a second location downtown?
I don't know.
It's early in the game.
It's early in the game, and downtown real estate is so tight.
Expensive.
It's expensive, and there's just not a lot of space open.
Right.
I mean, the only places that I can think of in that vague area that are open are huge.
Right.
And it just, there'd be no way to fill it on a lunch crowd.
I gotcha.
Yeah. You know, but they, you know, they do that, and that's quite the wait. But then they also have ramen.
Okay.
That you can get a couple. There's bowls of ramen. I have not tried those. But you can also get steam buns.
Oh.
Yes. And they've got four different kinds of steam buns. They do the tonkatsu, which I've had.
Yeah.
And that they got a really nice vinegary slaw on top of that.
Oh, yes.
They do a pork belly, which I've also had.
You're getting fatter.
They do a pork belly, which is also amazing.
You've eaten there only twice.
Only twice.
You don't have that much time at lunch, do you?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that much time to give up every day at lunch.
No, not really.
Yeah.
They do a green tea... what's the word I'm looking for? Like a green tea sauteed chicken.
Okay.
Or green tea infused chicken.
Okay.
I've not tried that yet. And then they also do a third thing that I'm escaping on right now. Steam buns, three of them for $6.
Oh my God.
And you can skip the line. They'll say, if you're not getting sushi, you can just jump right ahead.
Really?
My only complaint with this,
right,
with the way they have it set up, was you have to get three of the same thing.
Okay. You can't
mix and match. And my complaint with that stems from the fact that they still build it in front of you. So it's not like it'd be much more work to build
the... Do they have to re-glove every time, though?
They might, but...
See, that would be the cross-contamination.
But if you do pork...
You're dealing with a lot of raw foods there.
I suppose the chicken does add an X factor in there. But, you know, if I want my pig sampler...
Yeah.
Pork and pork is great.
Pork on pork loaf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But no,
I will have to check this out.
Highly recommend it.
Okay.
The killer thing for me is that the quality versus price. Like, you can get sushi rolls even in the next building over from where it is for about $6.
Mm-hmm.
And while I like the sushi over at the other place, whose name escapes me right now, the 123 sushi, it's just...
You can, like, sushi don or something like that.
Sushi don.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
That's close.
That was pretty close.
Yeah.
And they're great. I mean, I've got no problem with them. But this place is just. I mean, you can definitely tell the Masu influence with it, and it's. I'm pretty much just looking for excuses to go there at this point.
You're not even accepting excuses at this point. You're pretty much just. I kind of feel like eating that today.
My wife had the. She actually came down for lunch on Friday.
Oh, that was nice of her.
She's got these weeks off.
That's right.
So she came down and she had their spicy. I want to say it was called like the spicy Seattle or something like that.
Okay.
It was. It was basically like a spicy tuna roll, but it had some other extra crap in it.
Okay.
And it had their Screamin' Thai sauce.
Okay.
Which is the hottest sauce. They've got like 8 or 9 sauces to pick from. So
I'm a big fan of sauces, so this place has already piqued my interest.
Yeah, but she said it's the Screamin' or the spicy Seattle roll or whatever it's called, the pre-made one.
Yeah.
It'll definitely, you know, satisfy spice lovers.
A little sambal olek in there, maybe?
I have no idea. I didn't really pay that close attention because it didn't have pork in it. So,
therefore, it does not matter.
It does not exist. So, opinions of Twisted Fork?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very comfy atmosphere. But there are other places in the area I think I'd rather go to.
Okay.
That's not to say our service was really good.
Yep.
Very friendly. And, again, that's a comfortable environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's a casual environment. You can come in here in jeans and a t-shirt, or you can come in, you know, just straight off of work and feel like you're not out of place.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a fairly accessible location, and I can't really say anything bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the menu needs some refinement. There's nothing that really stands out.
No. How do you feel about the particular offerings for the restaurant?
Good, not great.
Okay.
My salad was good.
Mm-hmm.
My dessert was good. My entree was
suspect.
Yeah.
Between the two of us, we had probably about 70% of their menu. Mm-hmm. We had both their desserts that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They also do a veggie risotto for an entree, and then they also do Brussels sprouts with bacon.
Yep.
for an appetizer.
Yep.
So you've got. To me, I agree with you, and I think, particular to Restaurant Week, I think it's a hell of a value.
Yes.
For how much
this
food you get.
This is easily the best value we've ever gotten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking at the prices in general, mm-hmm. I don't think No. It's not going to be that much worse outside of restaurants.
This is a step up from your chain restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
It gets you out of the chain mold.
True.
I think they rely a little bit on the Sysco-provided food.
That's possible. You know what I mean? And my one, complaint, mm-hmm. if you can call it that,
mm-hmm.
is that if I had come here thinking it was Greenville,
right,
I don't know if anything would clue me in that it's not.
Right. It's very confusing.
And I'm talking specifically food-wise. Like, there's nothing here that you couldn't get in theory.
Right.
At a Green Mill or an Applebee's or one of those kind of places.
Exactly, a certain chain restaurant here.
Yeah. Quality differences aside, I'm just talking, strictly by the options presented.
It's a little less in your face than those places.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
I can't say enough about the environment and our service is very good.
Yes. And you're apparently very sensitive to service.
I am now. When you have such bad service,
mm-hmm.
that draws attention. They've got a good beer list. They've got a big wine list. They're doing some things right. I think they could use some refinement. It has great potential to do something great.
Mm-hmm.
But just needs a little bit of help. Get away from the Sysco provided, prepackaged stuff,
mm-hmm.
and maybe do some of your own butchering and you might be a little bit better off. But not a bad place to dine. Just there are other places I think I'd probably go to first, mm-hmm. in the area.
So check out, I forget the website, but we'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's just MSP Mag?
Yep.
That's right. They're handling all the restaurant week. Some pretty good choices overall in terms of the places. Several favorites of ours are available. One thing I noticed is that there was more than one what I would consider chain place. Like the Melting Pot,
mm-hmm.
is on the list. Fogo de Chao is on the list. And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. But to me, if the intent of Restaurant Week is to get people out and try local places,
yep.
I don't know if putting Melting Pot in there is going to help that.
Right. And speaking for the fact that I just had Melting Pot today, there are more creative places you can go on that list.
Yes.
For the amount of money it cost, it didn't cost me a dime to eat there, mm-hmm. but for the amount of money that got charged to somebody's corporate account, you can get better food and have somebody prepare prepares it for you.
Yeah.
And be out of there in less than 3.5 hours.
That's true.
That's all I'm going to say about Melting Pot.
Because
it's a successful business model.
It is. For a reason.
For a reason for people who don't have taste buds.
Wow. All right. Also, if you're out in the suburbs, Twin Cities.
Some great places on that list. Baccio, we've done that list. Three Squares is back on that list.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't necessarily care for Three Squares, but that shouldn't dissuade you from at least trying it out, mm-hmm. especially if you live in that area.
Yeah. I know there's some in Wayzata, there's Minnetonka.
Yep.
They're kind of all over the place. So very...
Hey, this is Evan. We're not exactly sure what happened at the end of the show, but, it sounds like we kind of picked up some ghosts. Maybe some sort of specter haunting the Twisted Fork. Perhaps a jilted chef or a overly stiffed waitress has decided to haunt the Twisted Fork. But the last few minutes of the show were a bit garbled, I guess would be the best way to put it. So I'm adding this in because there is some very important information we wanted to let you know about. Again, the links to Restaurant Week will be available in the show notes, which you should already have looked at. We recommend you try as many different places as you can, just to show the local scene some love in that regard. And that applies to every week, not just this week, obviously. We want to thank you guys for listening, as always, and for sharing the show to your friends on the various social networks, like Facebook at facebook.com/wellfedguidetolife. twitter.com/wellfedguidefpg and foursquare.com/wellfedguidetolife. All great ways to let people know about your love of the Well Fed Guide to Life. And I guess without further ado, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week, hopefully without the ghosts.